Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft, here with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp. Morning, guys.
Sharp? Is he?
I don't know.
I'm not paying no due.
I don't know.
I'm not paying no due. We were robbed.
Rob,
yes.
What are you talking about? I try to save you from yourself. Did I make that bet? Did I offer?
Zion went over the bat.
You offered the bet to me, and I said, seriously, you're going to give me that?
Zion went
you're
over the
man's back. You're going to give me another case of Diet Mountain
foul.
Dew,
you
the
know
breakfast
it.
Of champions?
And you know
Nectar
it.
Of the gods?
And you
Thank
know
you
it.
Very much. A foul?
Yeah, it was over the back.
He wasn't over the back.
Yeah,
he just plays bully ball.
Yeah, okay.
I can't help you, Shannon. No. Sorry. That one, all you.
I get it back.
You keep saying that.
He keeps saying
Probably
it.
Probably Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, you know what happens Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Lakers-Bucks.
Oh.
I know you want some of that.
We're still going to talk about it.
I know you want some of that.
Right. You're going to give me the Bucks at home?
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'll take that
we have
right
a lot to get to on today's show. Maybe today a different bet coming your way. Will Baker and Odell get along in Cleveland? We're going to talk about that. And then will anyone be able to stop Zion in the tournament? Because he has been doing so much.
We might have due on that.
Let's start with LeBron. He finished with 33 points at the Garden yesterday, but the ending did not go as planned. Down by one in the closing seconds, LeBron had a chance to hit the game winner, but was blocked by Mario Hezonja, and the Knicks went on to win. LeBron was 4-for-15 in the fourth quarter, which is the most missed field goals in a quarter of his career. Let's take a listen to LeBron on the end of the game.
It bothers me in the fact that we didn't close the game out. I mean, being a competitor that I am, and bothers me that I didn't make enough plays down the stretch. It bothers me that I didn't even get a shot up at the hoop. But, you know, of course that stuff bothers me. But, I mean, what's the difference between their record and our record? Two teams out of the postseason. So there's no difference. I mean, we have a couple more wins than them, but both teams right now are looking, you know, on the outside, you know, looking in. So it's not much of a difference.
Shannon, did LeBron make the right play at the end of the game?
He made the right play. He made a decision. He was going to try and get to the basket. Now, if you remember two plays before that play, Skip, he went to the basket, and DeAndre Jordan came from the weak side, and he blocked the shot. So he understood. He was going to try to So basically, they spread the floor, and they said, LeBron, do what you do. He had his on you, but let's not make it seem like, I mean, they make it seem like this guy's a bun. This guy was he was the fifth pick in the draft behind Kristaps Porzingis. So someone thought he had enough talent to be the number five overall pick in the draft.
Time out. Complete bust in Orlando. Such a bust after 3 years, they just let him walk in free agency. The Knicks signed him for 1 year. Go ahead.
But
just had to correct. I'm just so
you know the NBA, right? Skip.
I
NBA is based on talent.
Okay.
They believe that this guy was going to be so talented, they thought enough of him to take him with the fifth overall pick. Mm. I just say that. Skip, you have to be very, very careful, because when a play doesn't work out, people are quick to say that was the wrong play. But you can't make decisions on whether or not, well, if this don't happen, it's going to be the wrong decision. If it works out, it's the right decision. LeBron made a decision. I'm going to try and get to the basket. But LeBron saw at the last second, he saw DeAndre Jordan start to sneak across. So now I can't get all the way to the rim. He went to his patent move, which is the one-foot step back. Now, he had success with that shot early in the ball game. Not in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think he hit one in the fourth quarter. But the fourth quarter, Skip, wasn't a very good quarter, not only for LeBron, but for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so give the guy credit. LeBron tried to drive him. He stayed right there. LeBron went up. He blocked the shot. A heck of a play for a young player. But when I look at it, Skip, he struggled. LeBron struggled in the fourth quarter. He was 5 of 17 from outside of 10 feet.
Not in the fourth quarter, but in the game.
Yeah, in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in the fourth quarter, what, he missed 11 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
4-15.
Mm-hmm.
That's not LeBron. Because he had it going earlier. Everything, he driving to the basket, getting to the foul line, mm-hmm. 11 or 13. That's a good sign. Positive.
Mm.
I can see things like that happen on the horizon. Skip,
66% for the year.
Career
worst. Go
but
ahead.
Guess what? If we keep shooting 11 or 13, we won't end up at 66%.
You think you're going to get to 80?
No, we can't get to 80, but we could be above 70.
Okay.
Look, Skip, we can say that the game was lost on the last second shot. The game was lost because the Lakers allowed the Knicks to go on a 13-1 run. You remember 2 weeks ago, Skip, what did they do? They allowed the Milwaukee Bucks to go on a 15-2 run. Mm-hmm. So what? It's twofold. We can't make a shot, and we can't prevent them from getting buckets. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can't make a shot and the other team seemingly can't miss a shot, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. And that's what happened. Moutier, I don't know what happened to him all of a sudden, Skip, in Denver. He couldn't make a shot. Now he gets to New York, he can't miss a shot.
That is true.
I mean, he was pulling up, and this other guy, what's his name?
Dotson.
He had it cooking early.
Yep.
Overall, I mean, that starters played unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of them in double figures of 15 points mm-hmm. or more. DeAndre Jordan had 15, but he had 17 boards. Hmm. You know what, Skip? Look, we can make this about, you know, LeBron took the last shot and it didn't go in. He should have went all the way to this, and he should have did all the way to that. I don't look at it like that. I look at it as simple as this. I believe he made the right play. He didn't pass the ball. You can tell the way the court was spread it. Luke Walton says, LeBron, take the ball. They didn't call it. They brought the ball up the court. And LeBron says, hey, got to his side, which is the left side of the basket. He loved that. You remember when he hit that that shot on Toronto, Skip. Mm. Brought that thing all the way up. Mm. It didn't work out. Mm. He made the right play, but the guy just made a better play. Mm. And so instead of saying what he didn't do, how about let's give the guy, because sometimes I don't think we give guys enough credit when they make plays, even though they make it against a great player.
Okay. You done?
I'm done.
Good. My turn.
Where are you at?
Whew. Here we go. I waited long enough. I got a lot of pent-up energy over here. I'm about to unleash.
Just for the record,
to remind our younger viewers, I started covering the National Basketball Association in 1977. I started covering the Lakers right here in Los Angeles. Kareem was on that team, no Magic yet, but Kareem's Lakers. So this is, everything I'm about to say is not coming from a place of hate. It's coming from a place of knowledge and experience. Here we go. I'm going to say it for the 10,000th time. LeBron was not born to be a closer. LeBron doesn't have enough clutch gene to be a closer. And we saw it on full display yesterday at the Mecca of basketball, Madison Square Garden. I thought LeBron, regular season-wise, hit bottom yesterday. As far as all of his career-long regular season games, this was hitting bottom. And the shock to me, Mr. Sharp, was that I thought this was LeBron's one opportunity, the guy you called the quote-unquote GOAT, to put a little fresh lipstick on this pig of a season for the Los Angeles Lakers, because I thought he'd go for 50 or 60 and they would have a resounding rout of the pathetic Knicks in the Garden, and that all the celebrities on hand would say, ah, we got it. We got you, Bron. We came for you, and you did it for us in the Garden. Because you know how the Knicks fans are. They just want the visiting star to star for them, because that's all they have. Mm-hmm. Unless they get Zion, unless they get KD and Kyrie next year. So to me, LeBron had a pretty good day. He had 33 points that could have been, 40-plus if he had heated up in the fourth quarter instead of going completely cold.
He did.
LeBron James missed the most fourth quarter shots of all of his regular season 16 seasons. He's never missed 11 shots in a fourth quarter, and he missed 11 in that fourth quarter. And by the way, he had two chances to slam the door, to ice the game. The one you brought up was he drove it on DeAndre, and he just didn't get there quite quick enough. He didn't explode into it, and he thought that it was a goaltend. It was not a goaltend. DeAndre just nicked it before it went up on the way up.
It was close, but he got it.
It was close, but he got there, and he got it. And then LeBron tried a little fall-away jumper from 22 feet that could have – that would have put – the DeAndre shot would have put him up 5. This would have put him up 3, and it barely nicked front iron, so that was not a good shot by LeBron James, which led to the all-time LeBron James dilemma on the final play. I'm talking about being between rock and hard place.
Okay.
As he was guarded full court by Mario Hezonja. And again, Hezonja cut as a bust, or he wasn't cut, he just wasn't re-signed by the Orlando Magic. But Mario took him full court, nose to nose, here we go. And the Lakers are down 1. Remember, they're down 1 at this point. And usually, what does LeBron do in this situation? He usually pulls up. Mm-hmm. And I have been pounding this desk for years and pounding the old desk on the other network for years. Just drive it and get to the free throw line if you have to. Drive the basketball. And he did not pull up, which shocked me because I thought he'd pull up because I always say, well, if he pulls up and shoots a deep three on Hazonia, if he misses, his apologist can say, well, it was a tough shot that he missed because it was a, you know, 32-footer or whatever he might shoot. In this case, LeBron James drove the basketball to his left, which is his strong hand. He's ambidextrous, but he almost seems like he's more left-handed than right-handed right. to me because he loves his left hand up off the glass. So I'm saying, way to go, LeBron. But then he gets deep in the lane, and he remembers, I think, mind flying. This is just me reading into his high IQ, the highest IQ in basketball. Wait a second. And I should also point out, he couldn't pull up this time because he was 0 for 6 from 3. So that's a tougher sell with the media if you're going to shoot the 3. But he gets deep in the lane and he thinks, wait a second, I'm a 66% free throw shooter this year, which is my career worst. What have we seen regularly throughout this basketball season? LeBron James, late game, free throw line, demons. Is that fair? It's just fair. He's just missed so many late game free throws.
But hold on, Skip. You just said you gave him credit for driving two plays earlier.
Okay, but time out. But now he gets deep on Hazonia, and you have to finish the playoff. You have to attack Hazonia, hell-bent. You got to go up strong because you are going to get that foul call. But you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, time's going to be out, and you have to go stand there by yourself, and you're going to have to make one of two just to force overtime, right. Two of two to win the game. I believe LeBron James wanted no part of that, so he shocked me again by going up timidly, by going up half-heartedly. His body language was almost, please block this shot and get me off the hook here. Okay, wait a second. He didn't just get fingertip blocked on this shot, if we can see it again. This isn't a fingertip block. It's a full hand block. It's this block. It's like big brother blocking baby brother in the driveway when baby brother's like 7 years old. It's a full hand over the basketball by Mario Hazonia. That is the all-time low point embarrassment of LeBron James' career. How can you get blocked with a full hand over the basketball?
He jumped off the right foot, and normally – he jumps off his left foot with the step back fadeaway. So if you look at it, he jumps off his wrong foot. That's a right foot. He's a right-handed.
LeBron James. He's the best player in basketball.
Still physics.
Okay, but it looked like me jumping. You know, like it looked like just some guy trying to jump.
Skip.
Mario Hazonia.
Skip. Mario Hazonia. It hasn't panned out well, but he was the fifth pick in the draft. He's 6'8". He's 6'8".
Hey, LeBron's 6'9".
So this
6'9".
Okay, let me ask you a question. You know this. You've been covering the game of basketball since 1977. If you play long enough, name the two things you know for 1,000% certain that's going to happen. You'll get your shot blocked and you'll get dunked on. Those are facts.
You know what's funny? I got several texts from several NBA guys I've known for a long time who were asking, again, they're Jordan fans, and I did cover Michael Jordan in Chicago at the end of his run there. But they were asking me, did Michael Jordan ever get a go-ahead shot blocked in the final seconds of a game? I don't know that for a fact, and I tried to look it up this morning, and there are no stats available. Right. And then guys are asking me, did Kobe ever get a last-second shot blocked? Did Larry Bird ever get a shot blocked? I'm talking about getting it blocked. And then I'm reading Dave McMenamin's piece on ESPN.com, and he points out that LeBron James has had now 6 shots blocked in the final 5 seconds, when it's a go-ahead shot. 6 shots, and Dave wrote it as he's only had 6 blocked, and I'm like, only? If you'd asked me before yesterday, I might have said he'd had 1 or 2.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. See, you look at it because at the time of when the shot block occurs, okay, it happened at the end of the game. Kareem got the sky hook block, which is the most unstoppable shot in all of basketball. Skip, it happens.
Does it happen on the last second shot where you go up with conviction and supreme confidence, I got this, and you power up and shoot it like you mean it? Nope.
Yeah. Well, how about this?
Did MJ ever get one of those blocked?
We don't know. They didn't. Skip, let's be real. You know they only started tracking things of this nature, in the last decade.
This is a third-level stat.
Right, so it's not like something that comes. Okay. The block shot and assist only became an official stat, say, in the 70s. But that didn't mean they didn't assist in block shots in the 50s and 60s. But here's my thing. Joe Ingles and Jalen Brunson, they block Kevin Durant. Does Kevin Durant have a shot that seems like it can get blocked to you?
No.
He's 7 foot tall. He's shooting the ball at about a 10-foot arc. And Joe Ingles and Jalen Brunson has blocked the shot. We got to get stopped. See, we get so caught up in when the block occurred. Okay.
Did they block him from behind when he didn't see it as a blindside back of the, you know, back of the ball block?
I just thought LeBron thought that when he drove the ball, Hazonia would step back further. He didn't. He was right there. And when LeBron went up off his wrong foot, which is the right, because normally he steps back, he goes off his left foot, which is his higher foot, which he jumps a little higher. But the guy was right there. You want to place all the blame on LeBron, and you're unwilling.
We're just talking about one play, the play, to win the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're that guy, you just win that game against that team.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that. Because, Jenny, you remember the Super Bowl was in your hometown.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady had the ball in his hand.
Oh, so
and somebody knocked it out of his hand. Mm-hmm. And somebody knocked it out of his hand. Mm-hmm. How would in that moment, you would think.
Then Tom Brady threw the greatest Hail Mary I have ever seen. And I'm not kidding about that. He hit Gronk right in the hands with the last second pass.
Didn't he?
If Gronk hangs on, we're having a whole different conversation.
What about if Tom Brady hangs on to the ball?
Well, he's trying to make a play because his defense has given up 41 points.
What was the...
You're desperate. You're trying to hold on and make a play. You'd already scored 33. What more could you do?
What was LeBron trying to do? Trying to make a play. He had given the Shannon defense Sharp. Had given up 41 in the first quarter.
At least Tom Brady was playing against a top five defense in the Super Bowl. This was pathetic hitting bottom for LeBron James. Timeout against the NBA's worst team with the worst record and the worst home record. The Knicks 6-26 at home going into yesterday.
Skip, you make it seem
6-26.
You make it seem like they're on pace to break the Warriors record. The Lakers have been terrible this year.
Well, that was LeBron's point. He wanted to dismiss all the potential criticism by saying, "Hey, we're actually the Knicks. Our record isn't that much better than the Knicks." But, really?
No, he was not.
You're LeBron James.
So, in other words,
Do the Knicks have LeBron James?
No.
I don't think so.
Hold on.
Who do they have? Who's the one guy that even is in LeBron's ballpark?
Well, who's
stratosphere.
There's only a handful of guys in all the NBA that's in his stratosphere.
Okay, so one team had LeBron James, and it gave up a 13-1 run to end the game? 13-1?
And 2 weeks ago, what did they do? They gave up a 15-2 run. But here's another thing, Skip, that I think needs to be pointed out. The Lakers only played 6 players in the fourth quarter. LeBron, Caruso, Williams, KCP played all 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing is with Luke Walton, if there's a very, very fine line, because you and I looking at it, we're like, okay, they're playing so well, you leave them in there, when do you take them out? But that's what a coach's job is. Mm-hmm. The coach's job is not to wait until they give up the entire lead before you make changes. What's the likelihood that he went into a ball game saying, you know what, in the fourth quarter, this will be my lineup?
Well, he just waits to see who's playing. And Alex Caruso was playing his tail off.
Skip, you can't.
Taking charges.
Skip, here's the thing. Sometimes you must be proactive instead of reactive. 12 minutes for Williams. The guy was a G League player. Caruso, KCP.
LeBron James. That's all you need to know. LeBron James was on the floor for the whole fourth quarter. And gave up a 13-1 run to finish the game to the New York Knicks.
So he's the only one on the court.
Okay, but Shannon, this is the dregs. This is the bottom feeder. This is the Knicks in the garden. This is the house that you should own.
But you see what you're doing? You hold LeBron. If LeBron is such a bum, why does everybody hold him to a higher standard than they hold everybody else in the NBA? Because Kevin Durant's team with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson has lost 5 home games by 20 points or more. Why don't you judge KD? Why don't you judge Steph? Hey, do you remember James Harden? They've blown 24-point leads, 19-point leads, and nobody gets the criticism as LeBron. So I'm just trying to figure out.
Who has the best record in the West right now? Golden State still does. Yeah. So what's your point?
My point is that on any given Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday when they play, anything can happen. But they got 3 of the top, say, 12 players or 13 players in the NBA, and they lose 5 games at home by 20. Kevin Durant's on that roster. But you know what? They won the last two games without Kevin Durant, the best player in all the NBA, so says Skip Bayless. How are they able to do that?
Well, I told you what happened. I told you last Thursday what they're doing on the road. They're saying, well, if Kevin does have one foot out the door, let us show you what we can do without Kevin Durant. So they went to Houston and just took him out. They went to Oklahoma City and just wiped him out.
You shouldn't be able to do that with the best player.
Well, they think he's gone.
It doesn't matter. He's still the best player. You shouldn't be able to win like that without your best player. See, what you always do, Skip Bayless, you'll make concessions for other players that you won't make for LeBron. You say LeBron is the best player. He loses. How could the best player lose? But when other players supposedly are the best players, they make mistakes, turn the ball over, has a shot block. You like, oh, well, it just happened.
Time out.
Who cares?
Do you still think LeBron James is the quote-unquote best player on this planet?
I do.
Okay. Well, if you do, then I'm putting his bar way up here, and I'm going to measure him against the woeful Knicks way up here. And he had the ball in his hands repeatedly down the stretch. He took 15 fourth quarter shots, and he couldn't close that deal against that team.
So let me ask you.
Wow.
So I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. If LeBron James takes that shot and he doesn't get it blocked, but he misses it, what's your conversation today?
I don't know. I'd have to see how he missed it. All I know is what did happen.
Hold on, talk about what do you miss? How did he miss it?
Well, that didn't happen, Shannon. That's like it didn't happen. He got all time blocked.
Skip.
He got full hand blocked.
Okay.
How does that happen? If you're
block.
The best player on the planet,
it's a block.
If you're the GOAT, how can you be the lowercase GOAT of this game, as in the player you should blame because they lost to the Knicks?
You realize that
they just got swept by the Knicks? Yeah. It's the only team out of 30 NBA teams the Knicks have swept this year?
Hey.
Are the Lakers? That's hitting bottom.
The Lakers been hit bottom. Let me get this.
But I just thought this was LeBron's. I thought you'd be wearing your GOAT mask today just to open the show. I did, I swear. Yes.
No.
Against the Knicks, well, you've done it in worse situations.
I have not. So, hold on, Skip. So, it took the Lakers being swept by the Knicks yesterday for you to realize the Lakers have hit rock bottom?
No, I just said this was a chance to actually I call it lipstick on pig. And instead, it was just flat-out pig again.
Okay, you could have put lipstick, some MAC lipstick, good old stuff, nice earrings. Maybe you go to Harry Winston's and get a nice pair of earrings, maybe a couple of $1 million, and you put some red bottom shoes on it. But at the end of the day, when you remove all that, what is that? So if the Lakers beat the Knicks on a Sunday in the Mecca, what have they actually done? They still not going to the playoffs. They still a bad team.
If he'd scored 60, everybody would be saying today, he's still LeBron.
Not you.
He's still LeBron.
No, not you. Because you say, he should have scored 60, Jen. That's the lowly Knicks. They've only won 13 games. You'll never concede him. You'll never give him the credit.
I call him, like every other show, I call him the best point guard in basketball, the best passer in basketball, the highest IQ in basketball.
Those are auxiliary. No. It's like if you got a superpower. Well, he got the best. No. Say he's the best superhero. Don't talk about the powers. Oh, Superman got the best vision. Oh, Spider-Man got the best. No. Who's the best superhero? He's the best basketball player. All that other stuff. Oh, he's the best passer. He has the highest IQ. I don't want to hear none of that.
He's mortally flawed. Clutch gene.
So with Jordan.
Closer gene.
All I know, he got more game winners than Jordan in the playoffs. I don't know. He's flawed. He's a very flawed individual.
Yeah.
But he got more game winners than Jordan and Kobe. That's factual. Look that one up.
It feels like the Lakers' bottom just keeps getting lower and lower with these losses. That's the hard part.
We are going to critique him at a higher level. When you're this team, this organization, there is no bottom.
Okay.
It's a bottomless pit.
Yeah. It's just.
But you know better, Skip. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Okay.
I'm ashamed of you.
Next up, will we see a new Odell in Cleveland? We're going to talk about that coming up.
No mercy.
The Browns made a huge move last week when they traded for Odell Beckham Jr., which gives Baker Mayfield one of the top receivers in football. But Beckham also brings baggage from New York, and he's been called out for his emotional outbursts in games. Baker was asked about that, and he can apparently relate. Take a listen.
You can say the same thing about me. You don't want to tame it. You just let them be themselves and make plays. You know what?
that's who they are. When it comes down to it, the guys in that locker room, you know, you're going to love playing with them. And I know from Saquon and Sterling Shepard that I'm very close with, that I know exactly who OBJ is inside the locker room and who he is to his teammates. And that's the most important thing, is people can have their, you know, attitudes and perspective on it, but he's himself, and he has his teammates back.
Okay, Shannon, will Baker be able to handle Odell better than Eli did?
No.
No.
Eli was a 2-time MVP Super Bowl winning quarterback. Odell Beckham played for Tom Coughlin in this era, probably the most strict disciplinarian as a head coach in all of football, and they could not control Odell Beckham. Locker room is not the issue. He says he knows Saquon. They came out the same year in the draft. Baker was 1, Saquon was 2. He played with Sterling Shepard. Skip, the locker room was never the issue with OBJ. It's once you get out of the locker room and get on the field, when he's not getting the ball. Therein lies the problem, what you have, what he's going to have. For me, Skip, when I look at guys that have had behavioral issues, they don't get the ball when they think they should. They're not getting enough balls to keep them happy. It's really never been the quarterback that kept them in check. It's always been the head coach. If you remember, Skip, T.O. and Donovan was lock, step, and barrel. First year, that thing was special. 1,200 yards, 14 TDs. T.O. was first team All-Pro. And then somehow, some way, it soured. You know, T.O. said when he believed that it happened when Donovan in the Giants game. He came back to the hall and said, I was open, and Donovan told him to shut the bleep up. Donovan might have a different side of the equation, but who ultimately resolved this issue, Skip? Andy Reid. Andy said, you got to go, bro. Sent him home. That was the end of that. Coach Belichick, these guys come in with attitudes, and be it Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, whomever the player may be, Skip, Tom Brady ain't talking to them.
I don't know. He does. He goes out of his way to get to know the 53rd guy on the roster.
Yeah, he goes out of his way, Skip, but that behavior is what it is. If you know it's not going to be tolerated, mm-hmm. Coach Belichick ain't going to put the, you know, you left your ego wherever you came from. You didn't check it at the door. You left it at the locale where you came from. Therein lies the problem. See, when Odell started acting out the way he did, and Coach Coughlin, who had been a disciplinarian up until that point, didn't check him, okay, now what? So now you got Freddie Kitchens, Skip. This is his second year. This is really, he's the first-year head coach.
Yep.
Because Greg Williams was the interim head coach last year. Freddie took over the play calling on the offensive side of the football. Now he's over everything. You think Freddie Kitchens is going to command that kind of respect?
I do not. No chance.
At the end of the day, Skip, we can say Baker. And hey, this is on Odell to fix and change his behavior, because I'm not worried about when things are going really well. What happens when Odell thinks he should have got the ball and he goes somewhere else? What happens when they win the ball game, Skip, and he has 3 catches for 36 yards? What will be the reaction then? Because the locker room, Baker, isn't the issue. It's once you get on the field, mm-hmm. and he's not getting the opportunities that he believes he deserves. Hmm. That's when the problem will arise.
You make a lot of good points, but I'm going to disagree with your takeaway on this.
Okay.
I just think Baker Mayfield has a much better chance of getting through to Odell than Eli ever had. I'm not sure Eli ever gets through to anybody, because I've never figured what's going on in Eli's head at any given moment. Sometimes I don't even know if he knows where he is on the football field. He's football royalty. Mm-hmm. He's the youngest, and he grew up with a father and a big brother, actually 2 big brothers who are really good, but one who's all-time great.
Yep.
And he just thinks, I'm a Manning, so I can do this. This is the way it is. I won 2 Super Bowls. Who are you? And he just tunes everything out around him. He's above it all. He's aloof. He's disassociated from everything that's going on in the huddle, because he's Eli Manning and you're not. Not that he's a diva, because he doesn't operate like a diva. He's just unattached, you know, that there's no connection between Eli and the rest of the football team. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield is the flip side of that. Mm. And it was interesting that he starts off saying, you could say the same thing about me, because he's got a lot of Odell or T.O. in him. Mm-hmm. He's got gangster going on. He's got some diva going on. Mm-hmm. He's got big swagger. He's got big mouth because he backs it up. But you know how he operates. He operates sometimes almost like he's a wide receiver. To me, that's his body language. In his personality, is more like wide receiver.
But what can Baker do that Odell can't? Baker has the ball in his hands.
He can decide.
65 times a game.
Okay, I got you.
And Odell is dependent.
But why did most people have issues and at least red flags about Baker going into the draft? It's because we got to see on video, he's running from the cops in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Oh, yeah. And he's getting thrown up against a wall by one of the cops, right?
Yeah.
And it looked like he could have gotten hurt, man.
He could have.
Okay. So that's going on in this guy. This is the guy who went, he got crossways with Cliff Kingsbury and just said, okay, heck with you. I'm out. I'm going to Norman, where my father went. I'm just going up there. I'm just going to walk in and say, I'm here.
Right.
Can I try out for your team? That's who this guy is, right?
Yeah.
He goes and lives in the student dorm for a whole year by himself and goes and signs up on the bathroom door for the floor softball team. And they're like, who? Who's this guy? Is this that guy who played at Texas Tech? And he's like Babe Ruth of the OU Intramural Softball League. Okay? So that's what this guy has operating in him. And Odell and Sterling Shepard, who played with him the first year at Oklahoma, they get this. Like, they gravitate to him. We're about to talk about Johnny Manziel. He had the same thing going on. He just couldn't back it up because he went completely over the edge.
Let me ask you a question, Skip. Walking into that door, who do you think thinks they're a better player, Odell Beckham or Baker Mayfield?
I think it's a tie.
No. Do you think
– I do.
No. Okay, I'm saying. But do you think Odell Beckham thinks Baker Mayfield's a better player than him?
No.
During last year's problem.
Okay, do I think Odell is looking forward to playing with Baker? Yes, I do.
Oh, absolutely, because you and I both believe at this point, Baker Mayfield is a much better quarterback than Eli Manning.
Just much better.
You know,
and he's just much more fun to be around, fun to play with. The energy just goes up, man.
Yes.
You know, Odell is just, Eli's just Eli. He's just like vacant-eyed. It's like he just keeps doing the same thing he did 10 years ago. And you say, are you there, Eli? Like, you want to just, like, slap him and say, are you awake?
But, Skip, it's kind of like, and I'm sure, Jenny, people have told you what to expect when you was coming here and you're going to be working with Skip and I. You know, Skip is like this and Shannon's like that. But
they just said Skip is like this.
Yeah,
period. Period.
This is it.
But you had to get here and experience 100%. It for yourself. Someone tells you, man, I went to this restaurant last night. Man, the ambiance, the food. Ooh, Jenny, you got to try it.
Until you're in it.
I go there, I'm like, ambiance? This mess. Baker, someone can explain to you what someone's behavior might be like. But until you get an opportunity to experience for yourself, I played with guys, Skip, and I had an idea of what they were like because I could see the behavior that they exhibited on the sideline and on the field. But when we got them in the locker room, it was much, much worse.
Okay, I got it.
I'm not saying
it's going to help Baker a whole lot that he is close. He's like brother close with Saquon.
Yes.
Brother close.
Yes.
Like
he ain't getting Saquon.
Okay.
He got Odell.
You're right about that. And by the way, Saquon's the flip side as far as he's a model citizen. You know, he's easy to play with.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure Baker knows what's going to happen in the locker room. Maybe not in the huddle.
Right. The locker room.
I'm pretty sure Sterling is saying, hey, he's a good dude. A good dude. He's got a good heart.
I believe it.
You know? Okay.
I believe it. He's good. Because in the locker room, they don't throw passes, Jenny. In the locker room, you can't catch touchdowns.
Everything works in the locker room.
That's the problem.
I got it. But remember, T.O. Donovan. Let's go back to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan. How can I explain Donovan? A little more straight-laced, a little more sort of prone to siding with management, right?
Yes.
A little more conservative, conventional, with the grain instead of against the grain. Baker is completely against the grain. Baker will take on management. Baker had the you-know-whats to do that skit on John Dorsey, making fun of John Dorsey before he'd thrown one NFL pass back in training camp that we saw on Hard Knocks. That's That's something. That, you know what?
That is. Yeah. But most quarterbacks, Skip, especially if they're worth anything, they believe the team is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan felt the Eagles had he because he had been there the longest.
He had.
That was his team.
Yep.
Although Baker's only been there, this will be his second season, Baker believes that this is his team.
He does.
He does not want someone coming from outside disrupting. So I think the problem's going to come, and like I said, the locker room will be fine, is that what happens when Odell doesn't get the amount of passes or he doesn't get the touches or he doesn't get the throws that he thinks he should get? How does Baker handle that? Because like you said Baker won't back down.
Mm-mm.
Well, at some point, Eli was like, okay, I hear you, Odell. Let's try to get you the ball. And he's going to try to force feed him. That's not what Baker's going to do. Baker's going to be like, nah, Jarvis was open. I'm throwing to Jarvis. Or Callaway or Higgins or Njoku. So now
a lot of choices.
Yeah, exactly. So now Odell is on swole. Now what are you going to do, Skip? How do you – because here's the thing, Skip. Think about this. You cover the games for 25 years. Name the team that's gotten rid of a receiver with this kind of ability at 25 when they just gave him a contract.
Never happened.
So that's got that.
– I don't have a problem. I understand why it happened.
Yes.
Because the Giants finally decided more trouble than worth. That's what they said about T.O. in San Francisco, and I was covering the team. I got it through Terry Donahue, the GM. More trouble than worth.
And Skip, you eating $16 million. I was reading the story. You saw the story. The Giants with all that dead money on their cap. Like almost $70 million bucks of dead money. Skip, look, we done gave you a big bonus, but you got to get up out of here.
Okay.
We done. We tired, Skip. We can't do it anymore. That doesn't happen. So
I still say if Odell goes off on the field, he goes over the edge the way we saw him do regularly in New York.
Yes.
I think Baker has a better chance to go pull him aside and put both hands on both shoulder pads and say, stay with me. We're going to win this game and we're all going to be happy and go out after the game. And he'll get through to him quicker or more effectively than Eli ever tried to do.
Yeah.
That's just my gut feeling on Baker.
We're going to win the game. He said, but yeah, I know we're going to win the game, but I want to win it. I want you to throw me the game winning touchdown.
Helps. They will have had drinks the night before. That's what's going to happen.
You know what?
So at least you got that connection going.
Skip, you know what?
Chemistry's there.
Yep.
I'm looking at you, Skip. You wanted to go well so bad. But deep down inside, you know what's going to happen. You know it because you.
It's going to happen. It depends if it gets corrected by this guy. Six.
Freddie.
Number six, break through and say, Odell, just hang with me. We got this.
Okay.
We got
this. You know,
well,
Baker,
Eli was like, Odell, can you hang with me?
I don't think he said anything.
The last couple years, it feels like a different team.
Yeah.
So Odell and Baker.
And by the way, just to refresh everybody's memory, Jarvis is like brother close with Odell, so you got that going for you. And the receiver coach was their receiver coach at LSU.
Right.
And for a year, Odell's in New York. So you got all kinds of new support system that you had none of in New York.
Okay, then what happened when Odell started getting all the ball? What Jarvis going to say?
I think he would be more likely to say, I'm good.
Okay. And hopefully their relationship is deeper than that.
Yeah.
That they can play off of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to revisit this probably around week three, week four.
You're worried about all the personalities.
I'll make sure I'll skip. We're going to revisit this.
No mercy.
Johnny Manziel, he's on to another league. He was signed by the Alliance of American Football and was claimed on waivers by the Memphis Express. Manziel was released earlier this month by the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL and was banned from playing on another team in the league. Johnny hasn't played in the NFL since the 2015 season. So, Shannon, what is your take on this situation?
People can convince themselves of anything. You know what, really? I can convince myself that a lion is a really good pet. I can talk myself long enough, Skip, say, you know what?
Well, maybe for about 6 months.
That's my thing. You know, I get him if I get him as a cub and I bottle feed him and I nurture him and let him stay in my house and he be around me, he going to be a good pet.
Yep.
Realize he going to get to be 500 pounds.
Well,
and
that's what Siegfried and Roy thought, right?
he did. And they were great. That was a great show too, Skip. Skip, he's going to get as many opportunities because someone drafted this kid in the first round. And he can play. He just needs, Skip, he just needs to be in the right situation. If we get him in the right situation, we get the right people around him, the right coach, and we nurture him, Skip, he can be really good. But where is the evidence in seven CFL starts? Eight games, five touchdowns, seven INTs.
Correct.
In the NFL, eight starts, seven TDs, seven interceptions.
Okay.
How does 12 and 14 signify that a guy can play? I'm missing something. I know Memphis, Skip, they the lowest in attendance. We got to get a name up in here. So maybe he can run around and spin around and do a cartwheel and do a pirouette and backflip and throw a touchdown, and that'll get busted in the seat. Because at the end of the day, Skip, it's entertainment. And our entertainment value isn't what it needs to be because the attendance is not what it needs to be. So we're, I mean, Zach Mertenberger was one of the quarterback and Christian Hackenberg. So, I mean, it's not like, I mean, 5 years ago, Skip, they'd have called me. I could have come in and helped him out maybe a little bit.
Okay.
And then guess who his coach going to be, Skip?
Singletary.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Selfie, can't do it. Can't win with him. I'd rather play with 10.
Oh, boy.
Skip, you know, this is all a ploy. Johnny Manziel, in his starts in the CFL or his starts in the NFL, has shown you no reason to believe moving forward he's going to be anything other than what he's been up until that point.
Yep.
Someone's going to try and convince themselves here it's going to be different. And in their situation, he'll be different. Johnny Manziel is exactly who we thought Johnny Manziel would be. He would struggle because his inability to, if it's off script, like, he needs to be a guy that's like, okay, Johnny, just go play. But when that's not how football works, if they give you plays, they draw them up, and it says, okay, call the play. And if he has to stay on script, the play that was called, he got no chance. He starts running around and pirouetting and doing all the other stuff. Okay, but that's not sustainable.
So, speaking of hitting bottom, I fear that my man Johnny Manziel just hit bottom again football-wise. Not off the field, but football-wise.
Okay.
You know how much I love Johnny coming out of Texas A&M.
Yes.
Loved him going into that draft. But I said, if he has any alcohol issues, I'm out. And he had alcohol and drug issues right away in Cleveland. And he was never himself in Cleveland, and it was an all-time disaster. Then he continued to hit bottom off the field while he was living up here with Josh Gordon, and I think they were in somewhere North Hollywood or West Hollywood, I think it was. In an apartment. And by the way, Johnny and Odell are very close friends, and they used to work out together here in Los Angeles. So he's got a lot of them in him also. He runs with those guys. So I thought, well, maybe Canadian Football League will be a fresh start for Johnny Manziel. And I actually, on August the 3rd, which is Ernestine's birthday, I said, we got to watch a game tonight. We do?
I remember
It's that. My birthday. It's my birthday. I said, we got to watch Johnny tonight. And she had just met Johnny when I did the Kevin Hart. You remember the cold as
cold
balls?
Cold as balls.
Yeah. Forgive me for saying that. But
hey.
Yeah. Hey,
it's the
you
name
said
of the
it.
Show.
You said it.
Yeah, I had to.
Yep. So the point was, we saw Johnny that day. We talked to him for like an hour. He stayed and watched the whole taping of mine, sat with Ernestine. So she kind of got into Johnny, and she said, okay, we'll watch Johnny. And what did he do that night? He throws no touchdowns and four interceptions, and he was then with Montreal playing his first team, which was Hamilton, you know, and it was just a wipeout. It was 52-11 or something. It was 52-11 was the score.
So was the Raiders Tampa in the Super
Bowl. It was that. And it went from bad to worse in the CFL. And I told you that I believe he had all these conditions where he had to keep taking tests for his lithium that he takes. And I think he just quit taking, you know, he quit showing up for any of his contractual obligations so that he could go to the Alliance. Because there was no Alliance. Even when we saw him back at the Kevin Hart taping, there's no such thing as it hadn't come into existence yet.
Correct.
So he wanted to come back to the States and play on his native soil. And what team owned his rights? The San Antonio Commanders owned his rights. Why did they own his rights? Because he's from a suburb of San Antonio, Texas.
Right. Sure.
So where would you think in the Alliance he would be the biggest draw?
Right.
How about San Antonio?
Right. But
well, unfortunately, San Antonio now has the best record in the what's called the Western Conference.
Right.
And Darryl Johnston, who I covered when he was a Cowboy.
Moose.
Big Moose. He's the GM of the San Antonio Commanders.
He said, we good?
And he said, we're good. He said, I'll read his quote. I truly believe that the moves needed to add Johnny to our roster do not make us a better team at this time, because they'd have to make a move to
bring him
add
in.
Him on.
Right.
And so they are quarterbacked by the immortal Logan Woodside, who played at Toledo. He was a seventh-round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, and they won again yesterday hugely, and so they're off to the races, and that's without Johnny. So he defaults to the Memphis Express, coached by Mike Singletary, who is the absolute flip side of Johnny. Maybe he can talk some sense to him. Maybe he can instill some discipline.
No, nonsense.
It's the ultimate no. He's fire and brimstone. He's like a Baptist preacher of a football coach, right?
Basically all the time.
Okay, all the time. So will that help Johnny? All I know is if Beale Street could truly talk, it might be able to tell some Johnny stories, right?
But Skip,
pretty soon.
I know you said that, you know, hey, you liked him in college, and you thought he'd be a good quarterback as long as he didn't have certain issues. Skip, it's hard for me to believe that Johnny didn't have these issues in college. It's hard for me to believe that a guy that all of a sudden he comes into some money, and then all of a sudden he starts doing this. He might coming into money.
He was having some alcohol issues. Remember when he showed up at the University of Texas and went to a frat party? And was just trash talking the frat that he didn't belong to.
Right.
And of course, things start, you know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, Skip, when he would make posts on IG, all the posts were what? In a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny had alcohol. Johnny already looked like he had been bent. So did they not like connect the dots? Did that not come on? I mean, they say if you're going to take normally, they do everything. They go talk to your third grade teacher and your friends from this place, and they talk to somebody. They don't even know who you are, but you might know Johnny Manziel. Hey, like, you know, what do you think about Johnny Manziel? It's just hard for me to believe. Now, maybe not to this extent.
Yeah.
But Johnny had issues in college.
He did.
But they overlooked it because he played so well.
Mm-hmm. You know, to your point, he probably had much deeper issues than were known. Some teams might have known it. Maybe the Browns knew it. Maybe the coach and the GM knew it.
Correct.
Because on draft night, Johnny texts Dow Loggins, who's the quarterback coach, who shows the text to the owner, Jimmy Haslam, who says, take him.
Take him.
Because he's falling to whatever number it was. I feel
22 at that time?
I believe it was 22.
So yep.
And he fell past Jerry Jones. Most people thought he was going to take it, but Steven said no.
And he wanted, because think about it, Jerry wanted to take him instead of Zach Martin.
That is correct.
And Steven, like Jerry, you know, because you don't call him Dad. He called him Jerry.
He calls him Jerry.
Everybody calls him Jerry. I think his grandkids call him Jerry.
I think you're right.
Calls him Jerry.
Yep.
Best decision the Cowboys could have made.
That was a good one.
And there are a lot of people that thought the Texans should take Johnny Manziel with the first overall click.
John Gruden was on our show on the old network just banging that desk.
Yeah.
You got to take Johnny number one.
And they took Jadeveon Clowney. I think they're very pleased with that pick.
He hasn't quite lived up, but he's been pretty good.
Yeah. Especially late.
Yep. He has.
Dodged the injury bug.
Yep.
Skip, I just don't see it. I don't see it working. I think Johnny Manziel is, like I said, he's reached his plateau.
God, it's just sad to me because he was so good. God.
When he went
to Tuscaloosa and beat Nick.
Ooh. But you know what, Skip? And sometimes we get caught up because a guy had such a great college and storied college career.
Yeah.
But the NFL is littered. Well, not anymore. They're bankers and lawyers, and they sell things, medical equipment, of Heisman Trophy winners.
I know.
Because if my memory, I think Davey O'Brien and Roger Staubach are the only two quarterbacks to win the Heisman and go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Hmm.
So think about all those guys that's won that Heisman Trophy, from the Testaverdes to the Torettas and the Steve Spurriers.
I mean, Davey O'Brien has an award named after him. Yeah.
And
okay.
I
got it.
And think about how long he won the award in 63, Bradshaw, Staubach, but he had to do military service, and I think his first year with the Cowboys was 69? So that might be the Super Bowl, the modern era, because I think they say once the merger happened, they called that Super Bowl. So Roger Staubach is the only quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, in the modern era to win a Heisman and go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Skip, there are a lot of guys, be it a running back winning whatever that their award is, or a wide receiver, or D lineman.
I got it. But Baker and Kyler are going to change that.
Oh, Yes.
They're going to change that.
Well, they should.
They are Canton bound.
Future is bright.
Canton bound.
For those two.
See, there you go. See, you, why you
I'm just saying.
Why you just can't, huh? Why you
we're
just can't
make.
But you made a great point, but I said, watch what's about to happen.
Why you just, I mean, after one year and a guy that's not even played yet, why you do
Canton
that?
Canton bound.
Why you do that?
I'm just
okay.
I'm putting myself out
there. I'm sure at some point in time, the Browns will play in Canton. And I'm sure Arizona. Maybe
that's a good point.
Not going to be playing in Canton.
Are you going to watch Johnny, though, Skip? Will you and Ernestine tune in?
No. No, Ernestine.
Honestly.
If you let Skip talk you into staying another night to watch Johnny Manziel play.
What do they play on Saturdays? Is it all Saturdays?
It's weekends.
I don't know.
Saturday, Sunday. I don't know. It's
Boy,
a safe
a
answer.
One.
I figured.
If
I'm going to lean no on that.
Okay.
If I'm Ernestine, say, no, I'm going for a walk. I'm going
to
walk to Sherman Oaks.
One guy.
Sherman Oaks.
We could not get enough of watching Zion Williamson and Duke. Will they cruise to a national championship? We'll discuss all that next.
No mercy.
Well, Duke is the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, and a huge reason is Zion Williamson. He averaged 27 points, 10 rebounds over the last three games to lead the Blue Devils to the ACC tournament title. He was also named MVP. Zion and Duke begin their run on Friday night. So, Shannon,
yes.
What do you expect from Zion in the tournament?
I expect the first few rounds, Skip, because he's going to be playing against far inferior talent. I expect him to have a lot of dunks. You probably see big games from Zion, especially in the early rounds.
Okay.
But as we start to progress, the talent level, not granted, no team is going to have the talent level that Duke is going to be able to put on the floor. Mm-hmm. But they will be more than what they'll see in, say, you know, opening round and 32. So Zion shot 77% from the floor in the ACC tournament. He averaged 27 and 10. Those first two games that he played, Skip, might be as good as college basketball games if we've seen from any player this year. I mean, he's an absolute monster.
Syracuse, North Carolina.
And the putback that he got to give them the lead, which was ultimate, Skip, he shot the ball, hit the floor, and was back up before the guy that tried to block the shot beginning had even come down. And that's what I'm saying. He's such a quick leaper, is that he can get up, down, and back up again quicker than anybody that I've seen in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing is, Skip, what they're going to run into a problem is that Duke is their three-point shooting percentage is 340th out of 353 schools that play college basketball. That's not good. Zion doesn't shoot the three-point ball well. And you know what happens, Skip? You're going to have one of those games where you're not shooting. And if they're not shooting, and team's going to play them zone. They're too talented for you to play them. I'm going to make you shoot the ball over the top of me.
Mm-hmm.
They're too talented to try D up man-to-man.
Yep.
The problem that you have is that when you play zone, if they swing the ball so well, you're out of position, and then they get the rebound. And then Zion gets such good rebounding position on the weak side that the ball comes off, he grabs it, and the next thing you know, he's dunking it home on you.
Yep.
I don't believe they cut down the nets.
You don't?
I do not.
Wow.
Is
that the North Carolina in you speaking out?
Part of it.
Part of it. A lot of it.
No, some of it.
Yeah.
But we got some dew, though.
We got dew on this?
Yeah. Oh, you believe they cut down the net?
Yeah.
If you believe they cut down the net,
we
got dew.
I absolutely do.
Oh, well, we got dew.
Okay.
Yeah, we got dew.
Well, then it has to be Carolina cutting down the nets.
No.
Oh, you won't do that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, so you don't have any faith in your Tar Heels?
I'm going to do you like you used to do. I'm going to give you Duke. I got the feel. They Tiger Woods. They the Tiger Woods of college basketball. They got the number one, two, three recruits in all of basketball.
That is gutless on your part. I got to tell you.
I got to wear my do back.
You have no conviction about your Tar Heels.
I got to wear my do back.
Your Tar Heels are a number one seed.
We should have been. We should have been. Had we taken care of business, we should have been the number one overall seed.
Okay, so who's going to beat North Carolina in the Midwest?
Nobody.
I'm trying to figure out
Houston, Kansas? No.
How does Kansas get to stay in the Midwest?
I don't
and
know.
You get to they can be playing in Kansas.
Okay, well, whatever. They're not very good, trust me. I've watched them a lot. They're not Kansas.
Well, good.
Okay? They finally got dethroned in the Big 12 for the first time in forever.
Yeah.
Talk to you, baby.
Okay, so you're good to go. You're just going to cakewalk to the Final Four.
No, don't do that.
And then you're going to play Virginia from your conference. You got that? You got them?
Man, Virginia slowed the ball down.
Also, you don't have any faith against Carolina against Virginia.
They beat us twice.
Yeah.
They did beat you twice. So you think that's where you fall out?
Yeah, the final year.
Really? You're already picking against your target.
I'm saying we could possibly run into problems there.
Okay.
But I think it should be very smooth sailing up until we get to that point.
Hmm. I got Duke to win it all for one case of Diet Duke. Thank you very much. And I'll take Duke against, I'll give you the field. Okay. I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
Because you don't have any guts.
I do.
You've been on such a terrible losing streak. I'm going to just give you a case back. I'm going
to
push it right here for you.
I don't know how you keep winning these bets. You the lucky. You should have played a lot. Yeah, you lucky. Because we had Duke down by like 4 or 5 points.
You did?
With like 2 minutes to go.
I watched.
So.
And I kept thinking, I got Zion.
Whatever.
You sure it's luck, Shannon?
Whatever.
You know what? Zion is a man among kids. That's how, you know what? He's like a big-hearted bully who doesn't know his own strength.
Yes.
He's not like, he doesn't have bully in him. He can't help himself. He just bullies the whole game because he's so much better and more explosive than any other kid on the court, right? I told you the other day, he's like a big ball of fiery joy.
Yes.
He doesn't like spit fire. He just emanates joy.
He
plays so hard every possession. He's diving on the floor. He's crashing the boards. He's blocking shots. He is disrupting the other team.
Yeah.
And remember, he has the second best player in college basketball as his sidekick.
Yes.
He's got the best coach in college basketball sitting on his bench, okay? And he's got one of the best, not the best, but one of the best point guards in Trey Jones.
Well,
he can't shoot. He can't really.
The best defensive point guard Jones is. Mm-hmm. His own ball.
Okay.
And that pass he made the other night, Skip, Zion got the rebound, and then he threw the ball.
It was big time.
And then he goes through three. He dribbled the ball. He brought the ball up the court. He gets it. He covers it like he's a running back, comes out and dunks it.
Mm. I'm thinking back in my memory of all the NCAAs I used to cover, and I'm going back to who was the guy that was must-see, and it's obviously Zion this year, but like last year, DeAndre Ayton, he was going to be the first pick in the draft.
They got blown the doors off.
Yeah, I picked him last year to win it all, and they lose to Buffalo in the first round.
Right.
Get shot out of the gym by what?
I can't remember, Skip. I can't remember a player. You remember when UNLV, when they had Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogden and Greg Anthony, that was a team, Loyola Marymount, when they had Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble. They were scoring 100 unheard of.
You got to go back to Danny Manning.
Yes.
Carmelo was, for me, a big guy, even though he wasn't that highly, like it was LeBron's draft.
Right.
Okay.
But Carmelo carried Syracuse to that championship.
But he didn't. But Carmelo was unbelievable, but he didn't get the buzz this kid. You got to go back to Magic. You got to go back to Magic and Bird to think about what a guy.
Because there's Ewing.
Yes.
There was Sampson.
Right.
There was Olajuwon.
Right.
But I'm with you. To get this buzz, you got to go to Magic Bird. And I was there in Salt Lake City in 1979. And that's when the NCAAs got put on the national map by those two.
You'll never see that again. You'll never see Bird and Magic again, Skip.
Yep.
That's a once in a lifetime. And I remember watching that game, Magic and Gregory Kelser. How Larry Bird got that team. That team, I mean, because it was Larry Bird. I can't recall no other player on that roster. It was just Larry.
I just read a story about one of them, and I can't remember his name. But whatever. I know. I got it.
It was
Larry. And yet Magic had a little more help because he had a sidekick who was really good.
Yeah, Gregory Kelson was jumping out the gym.
Yep. He didn't live up in pro basketball
that, right.
But he was still better than anything Larry Bird had.
Exactly.
But still.
But this kid is box office, Skip. Because watching him, and, you know, they put up all his stuff on YouTube last year and all his highlights on Twitter and IG.
Yep.
And he's dunking. But you're looking at him, he's dunking on these little kids. Like, come on, man. Why are you dunking on
he's
little man?
He's still doing that.
Yeah, but not yet. Now he's dunking on guys that's in college.
Yep.
I like that you describe him with the word joy, because I think it is true. Yeah. He loves his teammates. He loves to play. He loves his coaches. He's not fazed by the hype and the energy.
Doesn't
it just
seem to
keeps
be.
Building on it.
No.
So, Shannon, sorry, the Lakers, though, that joy, they seem to be playing kind of without it lately. Did LeBron cost the Lakers a win at the Garden yesterday? We'll discuss that with Chris Broussard.
Gina, sorry. I can't with you anymore. No
mercy. LeBron finished with 33 points at the Garden yesterday, but the ending did not go as planned. Down by one in the closing seconds, LeBron had a chance to hit the game winner, but was blocked by Mario Hezonja, and the Knicks went on to win. LeBron was 4-for-15 in the fourth quarter, which is the most missed field goals in a quarter of his career. Let's take a listen to LeBron on the end of the game.
It bothers me in the fact that we didn't close the game out. I mean, being a competitor that I am, and bothers me that I didn't make enough plays down the stretch. It bothers me that I didn't even get a shot up at the hoop. But, you know, of course that stuff bothers me. But, what's the difference between their record and our record? Two teams out of the postseason. So there's no difference. I mean, we have a couple more wins than them, but both teams right now are looking, you know, on the outside, you know, looking in. So it's not much of a difference.
Okay, we're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Good morning.
Good morning.
Chris, did LeBron make the right play?
Well, let me start by saying I'm not personally a fan of hero ball.
Right.
I hate it when at the end of the games you just give it to your best player and tell him create something. Go 1-on-4. I don't care if it's LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Damian Lillard, Kyrie, whoever.
Unless it's Michael Jordan. Go ahead.
But even Jordan, like, if you look at some of his – now, the last one against Utah, which is
that
his iconic.
Hero ball.
That was the similar situation as LeBron was in yesterday. But the shot against Cleveland, it's more of you go get the ball, you make a quick move. It's not, I'm going to stand here and dribble for 10 seconds. You know, that's rare. I go back to the junior sky hook, of course, Magic Johnson. Magic told me himself he was a third option on that play.
Yeah, he was looking for somebody to pass it.
Right. It was Worthy, Kareem, and then Magic was a third option. I prefer you run a play or put it in your best player's hands and let him make a good play.
The
but run a play
decisions.
With options. That's what I prefer. Now, said, looking at the way it played out yesterday, they spread the floor. The Knicks didn't double. I'm glad LeBron didn't take that three. You know, sometimes you see him just take a bad three in a situation like that. So when
Why didn't he? He was 0-for-6.
Well, he was 0-for-2. Right, right.
That didn't help.
And I liked what he did. Like, he loves going left. You look at a lot of his game winners, they're going left. Even when he passed off to Korver against Draymond, he was going left. Because you look at the middle and you think maybe you go to the middle, but there's more help there. And, again, he likes going left. He made it, even when he went left, the Knicks defender didn't come off the three-point shooter. So it was
Kuzma in the corner.
It was cool. Yeah. So it was a good play. He just didn't get any lift. And Hezonja made a great defensive play. I mean, I have more of a problem with the 25-footer with a minute 20 left or the 22-footer with 30 seconds left. But he just didn't make the play, but it wasn't a bad play. It wasn't like you look at it and say, what is he doing? I thought he made a good play, just didn't finish it.
Yeah. Hold on. Didn't you just hear that about 30 minutes ago? I could have sworn. Chris Broussard, you heard me?
I didn't. I don't watch y'all. I come in unbiased.
Say what?
You didn't think it was a good play?
Is it my turn?
He didn't.
You know what? You know,
are
go
you
ahead.
Letting him go?
Yeah, I'm going to let him go because I know.
Seriously?
Yeah, I want you to go. Okay. I want you to go.
First of all, this was the Mecca. You've been there many times and covered many basketball games there. This is Madison Square Garden. On St. Patrick's Day, I thought LeBron would use this opportunity to, as I told him, put a little lipstick on this pig of a season for the LA Lakers. I thought he would go for 50 or 60 and they would relentlessly rout the hapless New York Knicks at home, where they had going in the worst home record in all of the NBA. And there are points in the game where I thought, okay, here he goes. And he did wind up with 33, but he missed a career worst 11 shots in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So he did not have it going, which forced him into the classic rock and a hard place situation at the end of the game. He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. again, it's his turn, his ball. He's on Mario Hezonja, who, by the way, was a bust in Orlando. He was the fifth pick in the draft, right. And they just let him walk in free agency because they had had enough. And the Knicks signed him just for 1 year this year. And Mario Hezonja got nose-to-nose with LeBron full court. Just as soon as the ball was inbounded, he jumped right in his face and said, I've got you all the way home. So usually, to your point, LeBron pulls up and shoots some ridiculous, like 30-foot three-point shot. They're only down one at this point. But because he was 0-for-6, I think he's thinking, because he's got the highest IQ in basketball, I can't pull that off today. I can't sell that.
If they're down by two, he'd probably take it at three.
Okay, maybe. I'm with you on that. So he does what I pounded this desk for him to do for years and years. He drives it. But you have to finish your drive on Mario Hezonja, because I promise you, if you take it hard to the rack, if you go up hell-bent, you are going to get the foul call in Madison Square Garden on that day. You're LeBron James. You're going to go to the free throw line, where he is a career low 66% from the free throw line. And we've seen again and again this year, he has late game, clutch, free throw line demons. They've haunted him all year long from like the second game. Remember the Rockets game?
Yeah.
It started there and it just kept on keeping on. And he's got problems in his head. And I'm actually defending him here. So he gets deep in the lane and he's thinking, do I go up strong and have to go stand there and make one of two just to get us to overtime? Because you know that's shaky for him.
That is not his forte.
I think he's way ahead of this game.
I don't think because remember, obviously, I don't know, a minute earlier.
Two plays earlier.
He had DeAndre Jordan.
That wasn't for the game, and he just shot a kind of a timid layup that got blocked on the way up by DeAndre.
But he didn't know DeAndre was coming.
Yeah, and I don't think he had room to go up, skip. Like, his own, yeah, actually, you're right, okay. He's a bust. But he played good defense. Okay, LeBron couldn't have got there.
Okay. When LeBron gets deep and he slows up. He doesn't attack him. LeBron's 6'9", what do we think he is? 270 maybe? 265?
265.
You know, Hezonja is 6'8", an inch shorter, and weighs maybe 220. He's just, come on. LeBron,
he's sneaky strong.
Okay, yeah, but LeBron can just crash into him and he's going to the foul line. I promise you.
But if you look at that photo, who's behind Hezonja?
Okay, DeAndre, but you can't stop the foul call. The foul call is going to be on Hezonja. It's just he's not going to get any respect from the refs at that point. So what does LeBron do? He starts to slow down, and then he goes up timidly. He goes up half-heartedly, and his body language was almost like, oh, go ahead and block this. Don't foul me. Whatever you do, don't foul me. That's how it came across to me. Listen, Chris, he didn't just get fingertip blocked on the shot. He got full hand blocked. He got no extension. This is LeBron freaking James. And he gets full hand blocked on the play?
The play before that DeAndre blocked, he didn't get any lift on that either.
Okay, what's going on? Is he really slowing down that much? Is he more ground bound now? Well, I see him dunk.
For some reason, you're right. He didn't get – I don't think it was that he was afraid. He just didn't get any lift.
Right. But I think he jumped because he's going to his left. And he jumps off the wrong foot. He jumps off his right. Normally,
it's because he came to a stop.
Right. If you watch him, normally when he goes to that turnaround, he jumps off his left.
Right.
But he jumped off his right foot. So now he can't get the lift that he normally gets. I mean, look at where it is. There's no way he's getting that shot off.
Right.
The guy's already an extension, and LeBron hasn't even let the ball go. So there's no chance he's going to get the ball. That ball is going to get up. But you know what, Skip Bayless? I know you're going to do this. I know you was going to do this.
I'm not doing it. He did it. I didn't do it.
You see?
Shannon, that's the most embarrassing moment of his regular season career.
Oh, come
on. To get a full hand blocked by Mario Hezonja.
It's a good play. Give Hezonja some credit.
You don't want to do that.
It's a good play.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, honestly.
Are you kidding me? You allow a 13-1 run by the New York Knicks to close the game when you're supposed to be a closer? He's not a closer.
Oh, but let me ask you a question.
Not a closer.
Would you consider a Moutier a bust?
Well, yeah.
Exactly. He hadn't been this year.
Exactly.
That you're actually making my point. This is a pathetic Knicks team at home.
My point is that Moutier didn't start his career in New York. He started it in Denver. If you look at the way he played in Denver and you look at the way he's playing now.
So you think Ozonia's going to start making all-star teams for the Knicks?
Mudiay is not going to make an all-star
team.
Do you think Mudiay is going to make an all-star team? No, but Skip.
I just don't even care.
But the thing is, sometimes it doesn't work out in one location. You go somewhere else. Every lottery pick, Skip, is not going to turn out to be LeBron James, Kevin Durant, or what Russell Westbrook. Why can't you give that guy credit? He made an unbelievable play.
Could he have gotten fouled on that play?
No.
If he drove and went up hard? He couldn't?
Well, then why didn't he get fouled two plays before?
Right.
Well, that was DeAndre.
And they could have easily called. It was a tough call. I think they got the right call.
Goaltend.
But he wanted the goaltend. I don't think it was, but it was close enough. If they just want to give him a call.
If you see, look at DeAndre Jordan. He's there.
Yeah, he's not going to get there. You're going to get fouled by Hezonja.
I think the argument, and LeBron really doesn't have this in his game, but we talked about Jordan against Utah. It was the same exact defense. Like, the players spread out. Right. Jordan was at the same part of the court. But what did he do? He went left and then crossed over quickly for mid-range.
There was a little push.
But that's the argument. Could LeBron have made a better move? Maybe a spin gets in the middle. But once he went left,
he was relegated because he couldn't go anywhere else.
What if you just go up strong? Do you think you're going to get fouled?
Why am I going to foul him on a jumper?
It wasn't going to be a foul.
Why wouldn't you? Not on a jumper, on a drive.
If you barrel into somebody, you can have an offensive charge.
I know, but you'd have enough momentum where he's got to run with you, so he's not going to be stationary at the circle.
The dude played it perfect. The dude made a great play.
LeBron played it imperfect. He just stopped. He stopped.
If he shoots the three, he's wrong. He pulls up and shoot a 20-footer, he's wrong.
You know what the right play is? Just go hell-bent for the basket. You're going to the free throw line.
Okay.
Do you want to see him at the free throw line? Would you be closing your eyes if he's standing at the free throw line?
You said you would see him at the free throw line. You're assuming that they're going to call a foul.
They're going to call a foul? You keep telling me he's the best player on the planet. He's not going to get that respect.
That doesn't mean he's getting the foul.
Thank you. And you said it yourself. They do not get – you just said it last week. They do not
get – Would James Harden get a foul call?
Oh, James
– okay.
He's the best player in the league at drawing fouls.
Oh, wait. No, he says –
at drawing fouls. Not the best player. At drawing fouls.
This is LeBron James.
Last 2 minutes of fourth quarter overtime, regular season, postseason, career. LeBron, 75% free throw shooter. Kobe, 84%.
Wait a second. Take it down to 5 seconds, and I got a much better stat.
I got another stat then. Last 5 seconds, fourth quarter overtime, postseason, LeBron 6-for-13, 46% field goal. Michael Jordan, 45%.
Okay, the last 5 seconds, LeBron's four buzzer beaters. 40%
Jordan
the free throw line in the regular season.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll go get it. No, you
we
don't
already
have
got
you're
it.
You're not taking it down. The ones for the game, when you're shooting it for the game, LeBron is pathetic.
On buzzer beaters?
No, free throws. Free throws.
But Skip, I don't have those numbers.
Hold on, Skip. You make it seem like those guys spend the lion's share of their career at the free throw line. We've seen Michael miss free throws that would have won the game. We've seen Kobe miss free throws. So this notion that you're trying to pass off that Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant has never, ever missed a free throw, and we just saw Kevin Durant 2 weeks ago. Missed a free throw that would have what?
Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't say nothing.
It's about LeBron James.
Oh, so you see what it is.
Hey, wait a second. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Would you rather have Michael Jordan shooting your last second free throw for your life or LeBron James?
I'd rather have Steph Curry.
And stop it.
I'd
rather have Jordan, but that doesn't mean LeBron's up there shivering and shaking.
I think he's shivering and shaking.
And I think
he's doing this.
Let's give Hezonja credit. Who was the kid in Washington that scored like 40 on Jordan one night?
The Bradford Smith.
It happens. These are all NBA players. They can make plays.
My bad. It wasn't 40. He hit him up for 35, and it was a back-to-back, and then Jordan hit him for 35
Jordan
at the
made
half.
Up the story that he talked trash to him after the game.
Okay.
He made up a lot of stories.
He made one good play, Hezonja. Yeah, he made a good play.
Good play, and that's the one that we all are talking about.
Hezonja blocked Mo Bamba's shot.
Joining us.
Mo Bamba's 7 foot tall with an 8.5 foot wingspan, and Hezonja got it.
If only we had more time for
and
this
he dunked on Giannis. You no, remember when he dunked on Giannis?
You realize how shameful your arguments
Let
are?
Let me ask you a question.
It's just shameful.
Do you remember?
I thought LeBron made a decent play on
Chris.
That.
Decent
clear out.
Play?
Do you remember clear out. It was a good
he
run.
Dunked, you remember he dunked on Giannis, Skip, and then did the Iverson and stepped over it?
Nope, I'm breaking this up. We don't have enough time.
You remember?
Mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.